Today's study is in Mark 10. But on reflection, I did not give adequate coverage to verse 49 and 50 of chapter 9, which read, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." One of the immediate things that comes to mind, everyone should be salted with fire. And he's drawing a comparison between salt and fire. Meaning we're going to, like as salt salts things, so we will be salted with fire. Have fire in yourselves. And have peace. Do not succumb to the world to become like it. See, when Jesus talked about us as the salt of the earth, I always hear preachers say, oh, a preservative. And they actually get into this meaningless digression from the point Jesus is making. The point about salt is not that it's a preservative. The point about salt is that it is salty. It has a particular flavor. It tastes like salt. Salt tastes like salt. And what if it doesn't taste like salt? What is it good for? Nothing. Good for nothing. Salt is good if it has lost its saltness. If it has become saltless, what are you going to season it with? Because it is the seasoning. So how shall it be seasoned? And so we as believers are to be like salt. And then we don't taste like everything else. We have a different flavor. We have to be different. We have to have a different mind. And our behavior ought to be different. We ought to be different in many ways. And that we are distinct as salt is distinct. It has a particular flavor. And so the Christian ought to have a particular flavor. And that flavor is Christ. Christiness. You know, we have a lot of Christians out there with not a lot of Christiness. If the Christian has lost his Christiness, wherewith shall he be Christed? Do you understand my meaning? If the Christian ceases to be like Christ, then what are you going to make? What are you going to season him with? Wherewith, what's he going to taste like? He's just going to taste like everything else. Because that's what you become, just part of the stew. And the whole subject at hand was about overcoming sin. If things cause you to stumble, cut them off. For it is better to enter into eternal life missing pieces than to have both to be cast into the lake of fire for the second death. And it's not really the point that cutting off your limbs is going to help you overcome sin. But if that is what it took, then that you should be willing to do whatever it takes. And so we also want to do whatever it takes to be like Christ. Whatever it takes. And fortunately for us, it doesn't take some great thing. It's not some huge task we have to perform. But rather, have faith. Believe that you can become like Christ. We must be salted with fire. Everyone's going to be salted with fire. Everyone's going to be tried by fire. The works we do, Paul says, will be placed on an altar and tried by fire to see what they're made of. Whether they be made of wood or hay or of good metal. Because the fire will tell it. And that is a sort of an analogy for God's trial. When he puts forth his fire, does it abide? Because when God burns things, all that abides is that he has made to abide. Meaning, God, when you blast fire, metals tend to persist. I mean, you can melt them, I know, at high temperature, but the point is they don't readily burn. But wood and hay, what is the nature of wood and hay? The nature is to burn. And the things whose nature is to burn shall burn, and the things whose nature is to persist shall persist. That is why sin cannot last forever in hell. It has to be burnt up because of its nature. The nature of sin is not eternal. The nature of wickedness is not eternal. The doctrine of eternal torture in the hell of tradition and of the leaven of men causes sin and iniquity to persist eternally in that place. To God, that is unthinkable. That is unthinkable, that sin and iniquity should persist. They must be destroyed. And the way you destroy them is by putting a stop to it all. Putting an end to it all. Every one shall be salted with fire. It means that we have to undergo the fire to try us, to see what we are. What did God make us to be? Are we that shall persist in the fire? Or are we that shall be consumed by the fire? Because the fire is going to test it, and the fire will tell it. What is it? You know, if fire has lost his fieriness, here's another point. If fire has lost its fieriness, wherewith shall it be made like fire? If the fires described by Jesus for the second death don't burn, if this fire that is not quenched does not burn that which is put to, then it is not fire anymore. It has lost its fieriness. If the fire loses its fieriness, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it fiery again? We need to give heed to things in the scripture. When God talks about leaven, we want to understand, how does leaven work? When he talks about fire, how does fire work? Because fire does not work the way the traditions of men would have you think. If it was that case, then God, why did he use the analogy of fire? Because fire burns. The only way fire torments is if fire is quenched. You must burn and quench to torment. But to truly put something to the fire is to burn it up. The things we offer God by sacrifice must be salted with salt. They must have, again, like I said, the Christianity of us needs to have Christiness in it. Think of it as like that it has to have that Christ-like nature. And so the things we offer God are according to Christ. And they must have Christ in it. Otherwise, it's empty and vain. We can, you know, as Paul said, though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, I'm nothing. And so it is, if I do not have God in my deeds, all my deeds are in vain, and the sacrifices I make are in vain, and the things I attempt to do in the name of God are in vain, if they've lost their Christ-like character. And everything I do has to have a Christ-like character. All the things I do to try to please God in his kingdom need a Christ-like character. So have salt, have Christ-like character, and have peace one with another. Be at peace with your brothers, and attempt to live peaceably with all men. But with all men, that's not possible. I mean, Christ himself eventually would be crucified, and the wicked have no peace. How can you have peace with those people who know no peace, and who have no peace, and for whom peace is a strange thing? But if we do the things of God and the kingdom of God, if we follow after godliness and so on and so forth, there's no law against these things. We should have peace. Unless God has set them against us for his purposes.